turn to Luke chapter 24. Verse of scripture that's just thundering through my head right now. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Well, I have two Easter lessons for you today. I don't think you'll like either one of them. But sometimes your pastor has to tell you things you don't like. Not that you aren't going to get all bristly about it or anything like that. The first thing I'm going to say is, watch out for ignorance. Sermon title today is Appreciating Ignorance. And ignorance is kind of an interesting thing. You can't do anything for stupid, but you can do something for ignorance. And so that's the good news. We can do something about our ignorance. We are all ignorant and have much to learn. And we're going to find that illustrated in this Easter story, where we have some ladies who are very sincerely, and this is our second lesson, some ladies who are very sincerely involved in a very ignorant and useless task. They are going to go to the tomb to embalm the Savior, and he's not there. And incidentally, they had been told that he wouldn't be there. And we're going to learn some things about our ignorance. Not that it's necessarily self-inflicted, but we battle with more ignorance than we readily acknowledge. And the Christian life is a shaking free from ignorance. When I say appreciating ignorance, I mean knowing and acknowledging it. Do you have a problem with arrogance? I do. I just know everything that there is to be known, and I don't listen good. And as a result, I often learn the hard way. And so that makes me qualified to talk to you folks about ignorance. For a subtitle today, I would give this, When Knowledge and Experience Come Together. There's a time when all of a sudden everything we know bounces up against the hill of reality. Now, I have a delightful illustration of this. I have been listening to the pundits over the last week talk about the inevitable win of Kentucky over Wisconsin. It is as though the last game of March Madness has already been played and Kentucky has prevailed. They went home with their tail between their legs yesterday. I can laugh about that because it's just a basketball game. It's not a big deal. And some of you didn't know, I'm a Wisconsin boy. I'm a Badger at heart. Did you watch the game last night? I only watched portions of it because I get too into it, you know, and I could have a heart attack watching a sports game, especially one where some Wisconsin team is involved. There's another sports team in Wisconsin. Did you know that? Who are they? The Packers! Yeah. You... Now, where was I going? You got me clear off my game. Pardon me? The what?
At the end of
Oh, at the ending of the game. Thank you, Charlotte. She and I were watching it together. Even when the Badgers won, all those two announcers could talk about at the end of the game was Kentucky. All they filmed was the Kentucky bench, the Kentucky coach. I don't even know what the Badger coach looks like. I don't think he was on the screen all night. Huh, I love it. Those people are miserable today. Not about something that's important. You understand, we're talking about trivia here. There is a time when what we know or think we know bumps up against reality. And I want to talk to you about that today and how it's illustrated in the Easter story. Let's pray before we do. Our Father, as we open your word together today, I pray that by your Spirit you would open our eyes that we might see things that we haven't seen before. Lord, that you would change our lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're in Luke chapter 24, we're going to come back there, but I still want to illustrate this a little bit to you. So come with me, please, to Job chapter 42. Job was going through some incredible difficulties in life. And he came to the conclusion that God was just not being fair to him. And he got a little angry about it. So God called Job to the courtroom to talk with him about it. And we find that event in Job chapter 42, verse 5 and 6. It says this, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Now, Pastor Weber read the announcements this morning, and he talked about studying the O's and woes of the Easter service, of the Easter story. Here it is. Job finally is so persuaded of his righteousness and his dignity and his rights that he finally confronts God with the issue and says, you're not being fair to me. And God says, Job, I need to have a chat with you. And he exposes his greatness and his wonder to Job. And Job goes, whoa! I've been way out of line. And I repent in dust and ashes. And I say to you that God wants to bring you to that point again and again in your life where you finally say, uh-oh, oh, I need to rethink what I thought. All right, come back to Luke chapter 24. This is a common event in the life of God's people. Come with me, please, to the first verse. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. It's interesting, in this particular account, they mention they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. In another gospel account, we find them discussing on the way, what about the stone? How are we going to move that? Do you suppose we can do that? Well, now, if they had 1.5 people like Charlotte, they would get it moved. Okay? It wouldn't be any problem. So here are these gals, you know, who have been followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene is one of them. He'd cast seven demons out of her. They'd listened to him preach. They'd listened to him teach. Okay. They'd been some period of time with him. And a matter of fact, they'd heard him say that the Son of Man must be crucified and rise again the third day. And here they are on the third day going down to embalm him. What's wrong with this story? You see, what they knew and what was true was different. They had heard, but they hadn't believed. They hadn't seen it. And they're all involved in their religious activity, you know, and they're getting these spices and man, this is expensive stuff. And as some of these women were very well to do, you know. And they'd gone and they'd purchased all this stuff, and I'm sure they had a formula, you know, for how all of this was mixed together. And it's all got to be just perfect because we're doing it for the Lord. And it's all absolutely vain and useless and clear out of the ballpark. I wonder how often all of our sacrifices and work and labor for the Lord is all out of the ballpark. We got it all figured out. And we're going down the road 90 miles an hour in the wrong way. Well, these ladies were doing just that. They knew what needed to be done. However, they were absolutely wrong. I want you to understand and fear your ignorance. To what degree do you think you've got a lock on this thing of what it means to be a Christian, how to live your Christian life, and you're absolutely wrong? You know, there are some consequences attached to that. As I was thinking about this, I'm thinking, how many tombstones of ignorance are we going to have to bang our heads against before we get things figured out as the people of God? Let me give you another illustration. Just back a couple chapters in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. We find the Lord speaking with Peter. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Some of us are so sure that we just got it all figured out. And we know what it's all about. And let the world bring whatever it will, I'm not going to waver. Well, come back to our story. In verse 3 of chapter 24, "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." They're perplexed. "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." They identify them later as angels. "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." Now notice the rebuke here. Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day arise again. And now verse 8 is, whoa, they remembered his words. Whoa, boy, am I embarrassed. Here were these faithful followers of the Lord who had committed their time and their talents and their treasures to him, everything but their head and understanding. And heaven itself opens the curtains before them, and the angel said, what did he tell you? You've got no excuse to be here with these spices today. You girls are absolutely nuts. He told you he wouldn't be here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Praise the Lord, they got confronted before eternity came. I wonder how many of us are going to stand before our Lord on the judgment day and the point is going to be made to us. Why did you live like that? Why did you constantly give all your time and treasures to the things of this world, not realizing that in eternity, it's not going to matter a bit and it's not going to count for anything? Why did you do that? Why did you seek the living among the dead? We're all going to face that question. When are you going to face it? When are you going to finally acknowledge that all these trinkets you're gathering and all the time you're spending glorying over Wisconsin's win doesn't mean a thing? But you will give an account for all the use of your time, your talents, and your treasures before your Savior. You will give an account of the things done in the body, whether they've been profitable or unprofitable. Well, the Lord had warned Peter about what Peter was going to do. Peter assured him that he wouldn't. If you come back to Luke chapter 22, verse 59, and about this same space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed saying, of a truth, this fellow was with them, for he is a Galilean, Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Whoa! You had some woes like that in your life. I hope you have. Because it's God's grace that brings those wonderful times into our lives when we say, whoa. Two things involved here. First, the cock crowed. The Lord set him up for this. Not for failure, but for correction. It says the cock will crow 3 times. And when that cock crowed the 3rd time, Peter turned and the Lord was looking right at him. Have you ever seen the Lord staring you straight in the eye from the Scriptures? And says, David, you've got to get this right. But you know, more than angst or anger, I think what Peter saw in his Savior's eyes that night were a mixture of disappointment and compassion. Peter, I warned you. Peter, I didn't want you to go through this. But Peter, I love you. What a blessed experience that is. Maybe this Easter is going to be a whoa experience for you, where you finally say, oh, man, I've been chasing everything but God. That's my passion as a pastor. That God would reach into your heart and just kind of squeeze it a little bit in His tender compassion and His forever mercy and wake you up before the judgment. Before you can't do anything about it. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Have you done that? Have you been ever so ashamed and embarrassed before your Savior who died for you and rose again for your justification? Have you been ever so bitterly disappointed and ashamed of yourself that you just sat and wept? That's an integral part of the Christian experience. Or are you so stoic and so academic that God has never reached your heart? Oh, I pray that God will break your heart. It's a wonderful place to be. To settle down in the arms of a compassionate Savior who loves you and is the final solution to every issue of life. There are incredibly many things we have to learn, but none greater than what these ladies learned at the tomb. Why seek ye the living among the dead? I don't want to go any further than that this morning. Let me pose to you some simple ideas. Are you seeking Christ with as much energy and interest as you seek the things of this world? How many free shots can you make in a row? Plead that one at the judgment. Oh, but Lord, I could make 10 out of 10. Oh, great. Oh, well, Lord, you know, I could pay all my bills. Oh, good. Did you live for me? You know, I just have something really simple that I want to share with you. That is absolutely a fundamental to living a Christian life. And it's probably the one we stumble over more than anything else. I want to ask you this. Do you meet with your Savior every day? I just want to ask you that simple question this Easter Sunday morning. Do you meet with your Savior every day? You know, Charlotte and I got acquainted back in the 60s. Those were the days of mail, you know. That's how we kept acquainted. You know, in the summer, we met at college. In the summer, she'd come back to Kalispell, and I would be working there in Iowa or Wisconsin, wherever it happened to be at the time. And I went to the mailbox with anticipation every day. And when I got her letter, I said, well, that's nice, she sent me a letter. I'll read it later. I read it 6 times before I ate supper. When's the last time you read his letter? You don't think you're going to be asked that question at the judgment? You don't think that's going to come up? There's no substitute. Read your mail, folks. Read your mail. Well, there's a lot more I'd like to say about that. The second thing I want to say is, talk to him. Talk to him. Well, you know, I'm thinking about, and I'm not picking on you, Dan, here, okay? Thinking about changing jobs here. Well, you better talk to the Lord about it. You better talk to him. Well, kind of thinking about maybe buying a new car. Well, you better talk to the Lord about it. Well, you know, I'm thinking about joining a softball club this summer and playing softball with the guys. Well, you better talk to the Lord about it. Do you know that our Savior spent oodles of hours talking to his Father? He would dismiss himself from the rest of the disciples, go up into the mountain, and talk with his Father. If he needed to talk to his Father, how much more do you need to talk to your Father? Lord, there's some things going on in work right now, and I just don't know how to handle it, and I'm thinking about just getting mad and telling the boss off, or I think maybe I'll just quit and go away. Or talk to him about it. That's what prayer is. It's not a meaningless exercise. Lord, I'm just really having a problem with my oldest son right now. He is driving me nuts. Talk to him about it. And then listen to what he has to say about it. It's a relationship. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with the eternal God and His Son. And we're not good at listening. How do we talk to them?
Yep. I'm talking. I understand that.
Okay. You've opened something that I can't handle in 2 minutes.
I understand that.
There is so much in here about that. God is going to talk to them.
Yep.
And they aren't going to like what they hear. And I understand what you're saying. We were talking about it at breakfast this morning. The same thing goes through our heads. But my point is you personally today. You personally. Listen to him and talk to him. And understand your ignorance. These ladies thought they were listening. They thought they were talking to them. And they were completely off base. Listen to him. Talk with him. Build a personal relationship with your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's risen. He's alive. He lives in the heart of his redeemed. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of love. Born by his goodness, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that by your grace, we would be a people who are walking daily with our Savior. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.